Because if you cut out his vocal cords and hooked him up to an air pump, you could still get sound out of him.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are taking a look at the new Captain America film, Brave New World. We are going to spoil the shit out of it, but if you want to know the quick take, eh.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Tim Smash.
And Nick Glover. And that's the sound of the incredibly boring Hulk. We are here to talk about the new installment in the Marvel Universe, Captain America, Brave New World. So this is your usual alert that we are going to spoil this movie. And we're going to actually spoil it somehow even more than the trailer did.
Which is a lot.
A lot.
Brave New colon.
If you saw the trailer, you saw the movie, but we're going to get into more of the details. And so if you don't want to be spoiled, come on back to this when you've seen it, and then you can enjoy our discussion about it. Now that they're gone, let's talk about this movie. Tim, what did you think of this movie?
Well, let me preface my observations about this movie by saying, I went to see it on Friday, which, you know, technically opening night, even though everything opens on Thursdays now. I went to see it at the Alamo Drafthouse in Woodbury, Minnesota, and it was a snowy, snowy day. And I had a delivery in the afternoon, and I started driving at 2:00 and arrived at the theater barely in time to catch the pre-show for this movie.
Time was the movie?
It was a 7:40 movie.
Wow. Oof.
So I had been driving in snow for 5 hours.
Wow.
Before I got to the theater to watch this movie. So what I'm going to say is, because the previous 5 hours had been incredibly unpleasant, I was predisposed to have a good time at this movie.
And oh,
as a result, I thought it was okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I did not love it. I did not hate it. I was happier being in that movie theater than I was driving on snowy roads with other idiots. So I have to, you know, I have to preface my opinion by saying that you know, I was in the right, maybe the best possible mood for this movie.
All right, Nick, what about you? What did you think?
Yeah, this is like a B-C+.
Okay.
Right. It is the worst Captain America movie.
I agree.
It's also the fourth best Captain America movie. I mean, it's fine. Obviously it suffered from a lot of reshoots. I know a friend of the show, Jeremy Stomberg, was talking about some of the things that were originally kind of supposed to happen or matter more for the movie, like Sidewinder and Serpent Society, and how things changed through the filming. But it just kind of felt like it was written for stupid people.
Yes. I hated this movie. Genuinely did not enjoy any of it. If I was enjoying myself, it was mostly because it was finally something was happening to watch that wasn't just people talking about what was about to happen, had happened, or was going to happen. That the entire movie's dialogue was people saying the thing that just happened to them and describing it, or describing what was happening around them right now, or then saying what they were gonna go do or what could happen if they didn't go do it. And it was just talking. It was just saying it. No, there was no, it was just expositionary dialogue. And it wasn't very smart either, like you're saying, Nick. It just felt, it all felt so stupid. There were times I laughed out loud, and it wasn't a funny line. I was just so shocked at how piss poor it was.
They use a TV newscast giving exposition in the movie at least, I think it's three distinct times. I know for sure two, and I think three, including opening the movie, where the newscasters are talking about all the things that have happened previously in the MCU. Like there are Greek chorus for the
yeah,
movie.
Yeah.
And they get so far into the plot that they start talking about how Thunderbolt President Ross's daughter is estranged from him because of him sending the army after Bruce Banner,
and all these
interpersonal details.
On the news, they're like, President Ross, whose daughter is estranged from him for the last 20 years. And
it's
turning negative. I'm like, on the news? How bad do you have to fuck up with your kid that on the news they're just reminding everybody tangentially, don't forget, his daughter doesn't actually talk to him.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I don't know. I've seen a bunch of articles lately talking about movies and TV shows being written for two screen experiences, right? So people who are like on their phone during a movie or watching TV, and how they're adding a lot of things like the exposition that really bothered Molly and me as well. And I feel like maybe this movie was written for someone to be on their phone while they're watching the movie.
It's so embarrassing.
I would agree.
And I will say the thing that the central premise of the movie, the idea that Brainiac guy, Brainiac guy. I like Brainiac guy better. Anyway, the mind control bit that I don't like mind control storylines because they're all bullshit. you can't make somebody with a couple of flashes on their phone do something that they wouldn't normally do.
Well, and
that they would morally be against.
Let's just suspend disbelief and say that you can. Even if you can, snooze fest. It's never going to be better than Bucky Barnes.
Yes.
It's never going to be better than that. So why are you trying to do a sad ass version of the Winter Soldier in this Captain America movie?
They make everybody the Winter Soldier. I think they did Isaiah Bradley super dirty by putting him back in jail. It's like,
absolutely.
We already know that he got fucked over by his government. Does he need to be fucked over by his government again to make the point more?
Or is it
better to actually let Isaiah Bradley be a hero?
Yep.
And do something cool and badass.
What if he'd shot the guy that did the thing that was and then they were like, now we'll never know what his motives were or something, right? Like, I mean, oh God.
And with Isaiah Bradley and with Sam Wilson, I feel like the movie gets in the same zip code as saying something important about being a black man in America, but it never actually goes all the way to the house. In that zip code. Like there are a couple times when Sam is given a little speech or given some politician a lecture or whatever, and he comes close to saying something important about, you know, difficulty or adversity or inequity in our country, and he pulls back before he says anything that actually would require some spine a couple times.
And isn't that just indicative of the new America?
Oh my God.
And if you want to talk about the old Captain America was punching Nazis and standing up for freedom and support and protecting the little guy, the new Captain America is I'm going to get really mad and lecture a politician, but not actually in a way that does anything. And the politician's going to look really upset about it, but not do anything to change.
Well, and even Falcon and Winter Soldier was better at that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, you already did this in Falcon and Winter Soldier,
everything,
so you don't need to come up and dip your toes in the water when you've already been there. Maybe don't even go there at all. It's important to this story, but maybe it's not something you need to bother with in this story. I do have to say that one of the things that I really appreciated, because there's a lot of this stuff that goes back to the Hulk, the Edward Norton Hulk.
The movie from 20 years ago.
Yeah, the movie from 20 years ago that hardly anybody watched. And because I watched the movie at the Draft House, and they always do a great pre-show. We were talking about this before we started, and their pre-show, part of the pre-show was a recap of Sam Wilson's arc, but also a recap of what happened in Hulk and General Ross and who General Ross is and who he's been through the Avengers series as well. So when General Ross is elected president at the beginning of the movie, anybody who is at the Draft House knows who this guy is and why it's important that this is the guy who got elected president, as opposed to everybody else who I think starts behind. And I think,
but the movie tells you pretty clearly
it does, but it's
a different actor.
Yeah, it does, but I don't think it really fills in the gaps as well as that pre-show did. And I think that one of the issues with this movie is it wants to get invested in like Ross and his daughter's relationship or whatever. But for most people watching this movie, I don't think they've got all the backstory. I think that the MCU has done a good job in the past of making standalone movies that don't rely on a lot of past knowledge to really get emotionally invested. And I think this movie did not do a great job of that.
What's really frustrating is like so far they tried to do what the Winter Soldier, Captain America, the Winter Soldier tried to do with the brain programming and the mind control. And they did that, and they did a half-assed, quarter-assed version of that. They did a quarter-assed version of the racial politics and like, you know, problems in America that they did very well in, you know, the Winter Soldier show.
Falcon
and the Winter Soldier show. They did a crap-ass version of, hey, big guy, sun's getting real low, and Natasha calming down Bruce. They did a dumb version of that with like, think of the cherry blossoms and your daughter.
I would say that Giancarlo Esposito Sidewinder, the way he is like walking and shooting and blowing things up with like this momentum forward is the way Bucky moves in Winter Soldier.
When he's
too.
In assassin mode, when he so is like, Winter Soldier.
So like it really feels like they copied off the homework of Winter Soldier in a lot of ways.
It was just so derivative. And I just felt like, so there were three separate times where Ross was like, I just remember when my daughter, when she was little, and we would go see the cherry blossoms, my daughter, when she was young, and the cherry blossoms. And then there's another time where he's like, you know, I came here with my daughter. And I, to myself, I go, because of the cherry blossoms. And he said it. And then he's the Hulk. And they're like, do you remember being here with your daughter? And I go, and the cherry blossoms, and then the cherry blossom fell on his giant Hulk hand. And I'm like, yeah, that's the one, the cherry blossom. Show it for a while. Really, really focus in on it.
Well, and if they're going to have someone come in and rekindle those memories for him and use that as the lever to like calm him down, and Liv Tyler was going to be in the movie anyway, why not have her? Like, Sam tries to talk him down in the cherry trees and it doesn't work. And then they fight a bunch. And then he tries to talk him down again and it works. And then later she shows up and talks to him in prison. Why wasn't she the one that just showed up and calmed him down?
Well, because like, that would have been a cliche, Nick.
Well, and like, we didn't see him apologize. We didn't see him take responsibility. We only know that he did because Liv Tyler suddenly shows up at the raft. I guess they just have visitor day and she just shows up. The first time she's even talked to her father, and she's like, well, it was really great because you took responsibility for everything. And that's when I knew that you were a good man. And it's like, so you didn't want to talk to him all this time. But now he's in the most secure, superpowered prison in the world. And they're like, you know what? You should come here and tell him that you forgive him.
That's why didn't she go see him while he was in court or something? I mean, seriously.
Like when he was the president.
Yeah.
I feel like she could have been a little quicker on the uptake.
It was just so dumb. It was just like when she walked into the raft, I lost it. That was when I think the movie was ruined for me, because it was like, Okay.
Well, that's not bad. That was almost at the end when they ruined the movie for you, Molly.
But, no, but I mean, that's when I was like, this movie is officially bad. Like, not just B plus, C, you know, C plus, B minus. This is like, I consider this a D movie. And it was because just all, it just seemed like they didn't even pay attention to half of the shit that is true about the Marvel universe.
although, in that vein, one thing I liked about it, which has very, very little to do with the plot, except for as a the MacGuffin, I guess, is I think this is the first movie that actually has some sort of consequences or reaction to the Celestial that comes up out of the earth.
From
Eternals. And I think it's interesting that they're introducing that to introduce adamantium as all these casting rumors are flying around right now for bringing mutants into the MCU.
Yeah.
And so, like, there are some slightly neat mechanical things that happen in this movie as it relates to the MCU, but, like, those could have been done with anything else, too. Like, this movie isn't special because it did that. It finally did the thing that they should have done anyway, eventually.
And I think we need to talk about the big red elephant in the room for a moment. And I think one of the, and I mean, there are certain things you have to do in the marketing for any film, right? But sure. By blowing the fact that Red Hulk is in this movie,
yes,
in everything. I mean, he's in the poster. He's in everything.
Yeah. He's the marketing beat.
You destroy any sense of suspense from the people watching the film, unless they somehow manage to miss everything and they don't already know that General Ross is the Red Hulk. And certainly there are people who don't, but at the same time, as you see, like the scene on the battleship when Ross is getting really upset and it's like, well, clearly he's the Red Hulk, because we know the Red Hulk is showing up at some point and Sam has to fight the Red Hulk, and therefore it has to happen soon. And that was super frustrating, because you're just kind of waiting until Ross goes Hulk, because you know it has to happen. And no matter what else happens, the climax of this movie can't happen until Ross hulks out. And that's bad storytelling, because if you're going to tell everybody that Ross is going to hulk out, make him hulk out earlier and make it be a means to an end rather than the actual end.
Make it happen earlier in the movie, but we don't know who Red Hulk is, even though he has Harrison Ford's face.
Right? And his name is Thunderbolt Ross.
Well, I mean, so Red Hulk.
Like,
we could maybe not see his face and see him destroy something or whatever, right? Like there's a way to do it.
So like, but Red Hulk is Ross, is Thunderbolt, is
in the comics.
In the comics.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, so I mean, you got Ross, Red Hulk. Right. I mean, I'm not an idiot.
I think the mastermind behind the evil here, Samuel Stearns, aka the leader, was more of a surprise in this movie than Red Hulk was. That to learn that he was the Baron Zemo in our movie. Quarter-assed Baron Zemo. He's
not even half-assed.
That was a little bit more of a surprise to me, and I'm glad they picked up that thread that's been dangling for two decades to bring him back. The guy that plays him is fucking amazing. He's a really good actor. He was so good in the Watchmen TV show on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the guy is a great stage actor.
Yeah.
Tim Blake Nelson. He's in a ton of Coen Brothers movies.
Yeah.
Really, really good actor.
I feel like they kind of did him dirty. Like, I feel like they didn't kill him. That's a good thing about this. I hate it when they introduce a neat character in any comic book movie series, and then they kill the villain off at the end, like Killmonger, right?
Yeah.
It's more interesting to keep that villain alive so that you can use them later.
Did he voluntarily just go back to prison?
I think they show up with guns, and he's like, raspberries.
And he never saw the probability of that one, so he was I guess I'm going back.
I think the assumption is he did voluntarily
go back to prison.
Yeah, his predictions being fallible, I liked that too.
Yeah, like he has a really, really good predictive, you know, algorithm or whatever, and he's almost right. But you can't really see every little possibility, and you shouldn't be able to predict things perfectly, and he doesn't, and I like that.
And the observation of phenomena changes the phenomena, right?
Yeah. So
when you make the observation to Sam that this is going to go exactly the way that you planned on it going, then Sam's like, all right, well, what's the most likely thing he thinks is going to happen here, and how do I make that not happen? So.
Yeah. I want to go back to the adamantium because that part actually made, I was like, oh, cool. They're talking about the eternal, the celestial. And then they're like, it's full of adamantium. And I'm like, oh, dumb. Because and I just looked it up because I remembered adamantium being a complicated alloy that like is extremely volatile and difficult to make. Yeah. And that is what I'm finding, that it is apparently kept in the components have to be kept in blocks of resin before you melt all the blocks and then mix the components and you get adamantium. It's a big deal.
And one of the components is vibranium.
Instead, now they just have it and it's in the celestial skull and they're just going to mine it.
It still could be a compound that they figure out how to metallurgically make and they just don't know the process until they already had the end result to make.
They're calling it adamantium and saying that it's the most powerful metal in the world, stronger than vibranium already. Well, so they already know what it is.
I'm just saying that we don't know which direction that's going to go.
I guess.
Maybe it has a purely celestial origin, maybe it doesn't.
It felt like hey, you got to see more movies, guys. We're going to make more movies. Keep watching these movies. Even if this movie's bad, keep watching it, though, because we're going to do something cool. It'll be here. Just trust us.
It's kind of a downer way to start the year for Marvel because everything else that's coming out this year is pretty fucking interesting.
It looks interesting. I thought this looked kind of interesting until I saw more trailers from it. And then I was like, oh,
yeah,
we're just some of the action. My God, his wings ripping through things like that.
Adamantium.
I understand that they are strong.
Vibranium.
I understand that they're strong, but like they're still attached to his body by a mechanism.
And they get ripped off.
And like, yeah, but like then they would have. There's all these times they would have, and then they don't, and then they do. And like,
I mean, don't his wings do that in the comics, though? I mean, I feel like that's not
his wings. I don't think his wings shear through metal planes and cut dudes in half in the comics.
I think they do sometimes.
I really didn't. I just, and he, him surfing on the missile and then like there was like all of the action. Marvel's action used to be so good because it had consequences and it felt real, and now it's just gotten to like DC proportions of like just fucking destroying so much and not even paying attention to that. Like the actual cost of things, like the Battle of New York affected things for years and they show how it like damaged New York. And instead this was like, what did they blew up so much of DC? It was like, they just decided to just trash it. And that was going to be funny because everyone's going to be like, oh, I know what that is. That blew up that building. No, it was really disappointing.
Yeah. I was going to say there,
The wings.
So his wings do the energy absorb and release as a pulse shockwave thing that T'Challa's Black Panther suit does. You know, with the shiny purple and then the shiny purple explosion. And when they're talking about his wings, he's talking about his wings with the new Falcon and all that. Right away, they're like, fancy new wings from Wakanda.
Yep.
And just like Bucky's arm, it's like, oh, it's a president from Wakanda. It's a present from Wakanda.
Sure.
And it's like, I understand that that's where only one of the two places in the world where you can get vibranium there and under the water with, you know, Namor's people.
Who we don't talk about.
Oh, we're going to talk about him a whole bunch after Fantastic Four because he's going to fuck Sue Storm.
Yeah.
No.
he wishes.
Yeah, she wishes. I'm a little bit tired of like, there's a cool thing that does cool stuff. It was a present from Wakanda. Like, it's just like other, and it's not like I'm intimidated by Wakandan excellence or anything like that. It's not, I don't have a problem with Wakanda being the most advanced place on Earth. It is. But
They wouldn't give it away. Like, they're giving it away.
To the American government, no right? less.
They're giving it like, to a warmonger?
Yeah.
He's being used as a weapon right. against like countries you'd think Wakanda would care more about protecting because yeah. they're about protecting the world.
Yeah.
It's just like we love guns and Wakanda said have bigger ones.
Especially when you consider like Iron Man built so much cool stuff and the Iron Man villains who were Iron Man knockoffs built. They're less cool stuff that could also have been used for shit like this.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like, you know, anytime they want to just have something that's super fucking cool that they don't want to explain how it works, it's the Wakandans did it.
It's because they have, Marvel has so many characters who are not super powered, but who have amazing technology and who are very good at fighting, right? And yeah. so because of that, they have to get, but because also DC has gods constantly, you know, they have to find a way to justify these action scenes where they're just smashing the shit out of everything and he's untouchable. It's John Wick's bulletproof suit. Yeah. Another thing that made me want to leave a movie theater.
How is he going to be able to take on the spectacle of the Red Hulk unless he has this invincible wingsuit? My answer to that is, why are you making Sam Wilson, Captain America, fight the Red Hulk? Why not find a villain that's a better match for him and more interesting for the movie? Or, you know, I just
because Red Hulk isn't a Sam Wilson villain, is he?
He's almost exclusively Hulk related.
Yeah.
He's the whole thing about he's different than the Hulk because he can absorb gamma radiation and the Hulk, the angrier he gets, the stronger he gets. The angrier Red Hulk gets, the hotter he gets, to the point where he will literally like engulf in flames and run around like smashing shit while on fire.
Yeah.
And like, you know, in this, what is Red Hulk? Well, he's the Hulk.
He's red.
They could have made Leader the villain and he could have had to outsmart him. And it's just
but
it's just so boring that what Captain America does in this incarnation is hit.
Yeah.
That's what he does. He flies and he hits and he's not particularly brave and he's not particularly like smart. He's just flying and hitting and making little quippy one-liners that aren't even very good. Like, it just felt like someone was like, the best thing Captain America ever did was, and he's like, I could do this all day. That was the best thing he ever did. And that's what the whole character should be from now on, as a guy who could fight forever. And that's just so, it just felt like a huge misread of what the character could be. And they also tried to throw on the whole, like, oh, the pressure of being Captain America for Americans when they don't like me. Like, they don't like you. Well, they all do like me, but I wonder if they do. Okay, and then they moved on. It's
like,
Bucky Barnes is running for Senate for Congress.
Okay, yeah, and well, we got to put that in there so that when it happens later, you're not surprised. Yeah.
But okay, so actually, that sets up what I was about to ask really, really nicely. So that nicely sets up what I was about to say. The next movie is Thunderbolts in May, which I'm very excited to see. Despite
me too
having just seen Winter Soldier, Brave New World, I'm still very excited for Thunderbolts. I am very curious about, I know the Thunderbolts movie has an asterisk by its name, and I know from the trailers that one of the characters is promoting the name and the others are like, bleh.
No, we hate it. Don't care about that.
So in this movie, Thunderbolt Ross says to Sam Wilson, like, we're going to start up the Avengers again.
Yeah,
I need you to lead the new Avengers team. And so I wonder if he gets that in motion before he turns into the Red Hulk and turns himself in. And if that new Avengers, not new Avengers, but new Avengers program that Ross starts up is what leads to the Thunderbolts. And that's why they're calling themselves the Thunderbolts.
Because he's Thunderbolt Ross.
Because he's there. They're reformed Ross. By an order from Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross. And that's why they don't want to be called that, because they don't want to be associated with, you know, the Red Hulk and stuff. I don't know. That's my assumption. But Tim, to what you're saying, Bucky Barnes is running for Congress. Bucky Barnes is leading the Thunderbolts in the next movie.
Yeah, he is.
Is that Senator Bucky Barnes that's going to be like running around and shooting shit and punching guys?
Like he's running for Senate?
It would be Congressman Bucky Congressman. Barnes.
Okay, but he's running for Congress. He's
Congressman
running,
punch and shoot.
He's running to be a representative, and also he's able to just like throw on. I mean, I guess maybe that's part of the thing is I was the Winter Soldier.
Well, maybe he loses the election, right? I mean, that's another possibility.
And he's mad.
I hope so.
That would be great if he loses the election. Maybe he loses the election and loses his shit a little bit, and now he's in bad graces, and that's why he ends up with the Thunderbolts. Like, and it's like I'm excited for the Thunderbolts. All of the people I love, David Harbour. I absolutely love Florence Pugh.
Oh yeah.
The I'm trying to think of who else is in that.
I can't remember the name of the woman who plays Ghost. I sure can't remember the name of the woman who plays Taskmaster.
Yeah, but those are all good characters. So yeah, like it's yeah. I like Ghost. I like Taskmaster a lot. It looks like it has a lot of humor, like actually funny, but again, all the good jokes could be in the trailer. The writing on this Captain America movie was so piss poor. If I can pretty much guess what the character is going to say every single other line, like that's bad, man, because that means you're saying the obvious trite thing.
Right,
like,
but it's not the same writers on the next movie.
No, but I'm just saying like the trailers often take lines that make it look better. I'm hoping that it's a better written movie and that it's actually funny as it looks. Like, I think that Florence Pugh and David Harbour have great chemistry. Yeah. So that's a huge thing there. Yeah.
There one interesting thing about this movie. So we knew from like rumors and leaks and casting stuff and IMDb and whatnot that Sabra.
Oh,
Ruth Batsaroff.
The little one.
The tiny woman. We knew that Sabra, who is a mutant in the comics, was going to be in this movie. It is a very, very interesting choice because Sabra is named after, shares the name with a terrible Palestinian massacre and also is ex-Mossad.
Yeah, she's an Israeli fighter.
The actress who plays the character in the movie is also from Israel. And I feel like it is a political statement to put that character in a movie right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like maybe they dialed back her importance in this movie when they got pushback from people because she's barely in this shit. She's in this shit like Natasha Romanoff is in the first Iron Man movie in that she's not in it much and she does a couple fight scenes in a hallway or whatever, yeah. Right? But also she's so tiny.
Yeah, she's distractingly small.
Distractingly small. I don't think she's a mutant in this or going to be a mutant in this, but she's Red Room.
I wouldn't be surprised if she's not going to be in much at all anymore.
They did imply that she was ex-Mossad. I forget, but there was some line about her having worked for the Israeli or other.
Okay.
I don't think they specifically said Mossad, but they implied it.
Yeah,
because when they said X Red Room and then they said the next thing, Nick looked at me and it was like bold, like in this climate.
Maybe you're right.
But you know, we're I don't know. I am so excited about the Fantastic Four movie that I'm willing to sit through whatever like superhero trash I have to get to that. So I've seen everything. I've seen everything in the MCU. There isn't anything I've skipped, and so I'm not going to skip this.
Baby Groot.
Okay, I'm not watching Baby Groot. I'm not going to watch Baby Groot. That's ridiculous. But I will say we've watched everything else. But like, you know, and it is this. I think this is the second worst movie. I think this the only thing worse is the Eternals, genuinely. And like maybe I have to watch Iron Man 3 again, but like Iron Man 3 is feeling like charming compared to whatever this was, which felt like a movie made by a committee of 50 producers. It felt like pablum. Like it felt like you said, when you say that the thought is this was a movie for people who are on their phones doing something else so they can also feel like they saw it, that tracks to me and is also fucking horrible. But
I mean, I will say it felt like pablum, but I will go back to, boy, that night pablum was good for me. Sure, you know, and I agree. I think in the sense that in comparison to what the MCU has produced, this movie is a disappointment. So yeah. I won't disagree with that at all. And I still would rank it ahead of most of what's happened in the DC universe over the last 10 years.
We saw this at 7:30 at an AMC theater on opening night, and there were opening Friday,
yeah.
but there were maybe 12 to 15 other people in that theater.
Maybe 20.
Maybe 20.
Yeah.
The movie still had an opening weekend of over 200 million.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really, I can remember, I mean, I know that movies haven't bounced back, but like, you know, I can, like when Nick was like, do you want to go see that in a couple of days? I was like, are we going to be able to get tickets? And he kind of laughed at me and I was like, I mean, no, it's opening night. And he's like, no, I think it's fine. And it was, the first tickets purchased on our showing.
So something someone was talking about the other day, I wish I could remember who it was, but they're saying that one of the results of the most recent writer's strike was writers getting more control over the stories they tell and wresting some of that control away from producers. And that effect will be shown much faster and more apparently in television, because they are writing as they're shooting a lot of times. And it gets out to audiences quicker, typically. Movies are written way far in advance. Sure, there's rewrites and stuff, but like typically that whole process and post-production and all that takes way more time. So it's entirely likely that at a certain point in the next couple year or two, all of a sudden we're going to see, if not better, at least more interesting stories from mainstream movies as a result of writers having more control over what they're writing and less of a very produced feel like this movie has.
Yeah. And I totally agree with that. And I want to switch gears for just a moment because we can complain about this movie all day, but opening the same weekend as Captain America on Apple Plus was a movie by friend of the show Cargill. He
produced it. Yeah,
he produced it, called The Gorge. And I'm going to say I watched that the same weekend, and I will say that I did not. It's not great. It's not the best film I've ever seen, but in what Captain America was trying to be, which is essentially escapist fare, The Gorge is the same thing and much better,
much more fun doing that.
Yes.
And it felt original.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, like, I understand that it sounds crazy to say that, like, the fourth movie in a Captain America, the fourth installment in Captain America within the MCU that has more than 35 titles so far, to say that it's not original is maybe too much of a complaint. But honestly, like, there are, it when I say it didn't feel original, I mean, because it felt like it was trying to do all these other Marvel movies, like we've already talked about, but just not as good. Like, it just, it felt like somebody was like, oh, it was so sick when this happened and this thing. And then remember in that show when this thing happened? Oh, that was sick. Remember when this show did that and then this movie did that? I want my movie to do all of those things and hit all those points, but like, don't copy them. Yeah. Like, can I copy your homework? Yeah, but don't make it look obvious, you know,
use a different font at least.
Yeah. And like, there were times where I almost wondered if parts of the script were written by an LLM because like, it was just so like, it's the way that like our friend Dave Rand McKay had us look at he did a bunch of AI generated scripts once for a Fearless fundraiser that we read through them. And I remember the thing that I noted the most was the AI put an emotion by every single person's line. So like you couldn't decide as an actor. It was like character name, anxiously, character name, laughing, character name, grumpily, character name, snappy, character name. And you're like, oh, okay, the AI wants to make sure I know what to say. And that's kind of how it felt sometimes. It was like, listen, I'm Captain America, and a thing Captain America needs to say is this thing that I, Captain America, am gonna say right now. And it's just
angrily.
Yeah.
So phase five started with Ant-Man and Wasp, Quantumania.
Oh, it feels movies. Like a million years ago.
It was 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago.
February 17th, 2023. Almost exactly 2 years before Brave New World.
Feels so long ago.
The last movie in Phase 5 will be Thunderbolts in May. Up next for TV is like Daredevil Born Again will be out by the time this episode goes up. That airs next week.
Mm.
Ironheart is technically the last thing in Phase 5. Because that comes out in June, and it's the last thing to come out before Fantastic Four. I think Marvel had a slump phase. If you think about all the plans that they had for Kang the Conqueror and all the shit they set up and how much that mattered for Quantumania and how much they had to scramble and change their plans and reorganize and pivot to Fantastic Four and Doctor Doom, I think this makes perfect sense to me. None of this is terribly surprising, considering that whatever master plan they had with Kang,
they had to
scrap the whole fucking thing.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And there is that. And so I think
they get a slump phase. That's fine. I think
it's really important to point out that
reorient themselves.
Yeah, I'm not going to like leave the MCU over this. I don't have superhero fatigue. I just have like a deep disappointment.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to point out that whatever problems this movie has, it's not Sam Wilson. And of course, the racists are going to be like, well, see what happens. You made Captain America black and now they've got a failure of a movie. It's like, the problems with this movie have nothing to do with making Captain America black.
No, that's not the issue at all. The issue
nothing
is
to do with the actor playing Sam Wilson, who I think is good. You know,
he's an okay actor.
I think he's fine.
He's okay.
I don't think Anthony Mackie is anything great, but
he's all right. He has his moments. But like Iron Man 3 wasn't bad because it was written by white people, or about white people, right?
Right.
For that matter. Yeah.
But it's interesting how that's a different conversation, isn't it?
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but you know, racists are going to say racist shit because they're fucking stupid.
Yeah. And that's exactly like it wouldn't matter if you dug up Steve Rogers and reanimated him and explained why he's Chris Evans again and then did it. If it was Chris Evans reading this exact same script and doing this exact same movie, it would be bad.
Yep.
It would still be really bad.
It would, but racists would like it more. That's what's weird.
Yeah, they probably would on account of racism.
They'd still call it woke because, I don't know, he's punching a Nazi.
He's taking heart pills. I think that's bad, I guess, now. We're not supposed to take medicine.
No.
Yeah, that's true. He is taking medication. But
Nazi, and they'll be like, free speech.
It's experimental medication, Molly, and that's okay.
I want to say that was the first. So, like, he's like, oh, I'm taking these pills. Like, what are they? And it's like, don't worry about it. I'm like, oh, and I'm like, oh, those pills are turning him into the Hulk.
Yeah.
And then it was like, where'd you get the pills? Oh, from the supervillain that we have in high maximum security incarceration. He made them for me out of the kindness of his heart. And I'm like, yeah, those are definitely the Hulk pills for sure. And then they're like, guess what? Guess what, Ross? And I'm like, it's the pills. It's the Hulk pills. Those pills you've been taking? He's like, my pills? It's like, yes. Guess what? They have gamma radiation. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's the Hulk pills. Like, it was just like, it felt so telegraphed. And then they played it like a big reveal. Imagine being like shocked Pikachu that the gun goes off in Act 3.
My most controversial take on this movie is for the leader, they should have just gone with the ridiculous.
The
vertical dome. If you do a Google image search for the leader, like, you're going to get two different kinds of pictures. You're going to get one where his head kind of looks like a brain, and you're going to get one where his head looks like you could hide it with a stovepipe hat. To hide how tall his head is.
Yeah.
And my controversial take is they should have done Big Dome, the leader. It's cartoony and goofy, but I think it would have been more interesting than him being the weird, gnarled gamma mutant that he is. That's it. That's the whole controversial take.
Was he green?
Yeah.
Was he just like sort of sickly green, or was he really green?
He was...
in the movie? I don't remember.
He was mostly green. His eyes were kind of fucked up and uneven.
Yeah.
And he had like testicle.
Scrotum head.
Yeah, testicle head for sure.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit big, but like just from the prosthetic covering his hair.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like a giant dome. Give us the giant dome. Make him go give himself gamma treatments to increase his intelligence again. And when he goes to do that, he gets giant dome head.
Is the pills isn't how does Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross become the Hulk in the comics? Do you remember? Because I don't think it's heart pills. I don't think he eats gamma radiation little bit by little bit and builds up a resistance to iocane powder.
I don't.
It was like, because it was just like, just you might as well have just said a wizard did it for all that. Like it was just so like, it's like, oh, so you can eat it and in the pills and you can, because like Bruce Banner was hit with a big ass dose on purpose. You know, it was like a whole thing. Like it was like a lot. You can microdose gamma radiation and turn into the Hulk if you're mad.
If you start asking questions about gamma radiation and the Hulk, you're really going down a difficult path.
But that's why I'm saying there is a little science they've already established. So why not just make it like, why not just make it then? Why not? You know, because they wanted it to be a secret reveal. He didn't know. They had to do this like, he doesn't know he's the Hulk, but he will be.
I think Leader and MODOK do it.
Okay.
But I think he solicits their help to do it.
Okay.
Like, he's in on it.
I always thought it was intentional.
I think it's literally like, so I can go beat up the Hulk, make me a better Hulk.
I do love the whole like very much the you can't be so mad. Don't you know if you get so mad, one of these days you're gonna die being mad.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that is Captain America: Brave New World. If you've seen it and you disagree with us vehemently, it was your favorite, please tell us. We want to hear why. What did you love about it? If you also didn't like it, or if, like Tim, you really needed that movie at that time in your life to just bring you the smallest modicum of joy. You know, if you were starving and the gruel was great, let us know.
Wow.
But otherwise, we will see you in 2 weeks with another fresh, lovely new episode full of geeky, godless fun. Thank you, and we'll see you then.
Bye. Believe it or not, this episode is going up right around cherry blossom season, so that worked out.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
I fuck up a lot.